Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Force Center Presents Data Bank Dive. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Kat Napsok, and this is where we, as the title says, take a deep dive, or a dive, into the StarWars.com databanks. We pick something wild, something weird, maybe something wondrous, and we discuss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We did this for The Companion. You can check our original season out on exclusively on The Companion app if you'd like to. So that's what we do. Joseph, let's do it.
Yeah, I love the addition of a new W word. We've been saying wild and weird, and you just added wondrous, and I like that, because I think the topic that I selected for today is kind of wild and weird and wondrous, but also scary.
Yeah.
This is our first, maybe we're getting ready for the Halloween season. We're venturing into wild, weird, but not just kind of silly bonkers, actually a little scary. Today, we're going to be talking about the Mandalorian Vault. Here is the basic info. If you are curious about where this is from the final season of Clone Wars. This is the box that Maul gets put into by the Mandalorians for transport that doesn't end up going well. But here's what the StarWars.com databank has to say about the Mandalorian Vault. The proud warriors of Mandalore have many ways of dealing with off-world intruders. For a time, they dealt with force-wielding enemies in particular through powerful technology, including encasing their foes in a vault-like prison that could be hauled from place to place, much like a slab of carbonite.
Yeah.
So that's scary, but it already cracks me up, right? The idea that, like, Mandalorians have, like, all sorts of different devices for different off-world intruders. Yeah. And this is just the one that they have for force wielders. And I love this turn of phrase. Like, it could be used to haul them from place to place. Like, it's I get that it's like a transport from, you know, get them off-world to some more secure place or just get them off-world. But the idea of hauled from place to place, like, somebody could just be like, well, I keep this Jedi or this force user in my bedroom, and then I roll them to the kitchen.
Yeah. You like my Jedi? Look, I got my Jedi. Oh, well, are you going to take it out of the package? Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, did Mandalorians have Jedi parties where they exchange their toys?
Yeah, look what I got. Look what I got. Mint on card Jedi.
Do you want to swap Jedi? It's a little dangerous to take them out of the package, but we could swap Jedi. Any other thoughts on that database entry before we move into the wild and thorough world of Wikipedia?
The data bank entry, it's just, it's very polite for something that's kind of, like you said, scary and horrible.
That I really like that you said that, because there is something kind of calm about the way it's being described. Like, it's a piece of technology. Like, you know how they have lamps? They also have one-person prisons.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It tracks for the Mandalorians. They're very prepared, very prepared. They've been fighting the Jedi for a long time. So this all makes sense. It's just very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have some additional information from Wikipedia. Wikipedia says a Mandalorian vault, also known as a Mandalorian sarcophagus, was a prison device designed to contain force users. Developed by the Mandalorian culture, it was sized to hold an adult humanoid inside it, standing as a rectangular slab with angled corners, which was noticeably taller than an adult human. The vault floated slightly off the ground while being moved around, but had to be manually pushed by its escorts. Gray on the outside, the vault's door was decorated with a bas-relief of Mandalorian warriors fighting Jedi with prominent depictions of Mandalorian helmets. A clear window in the top center of the door showed the face of the prisoner held inside, but also let them see out. However, the vault was soundproof, preventing a prisoner from hearing anything outside of their confinement. We'll talk more about what it looks like, but I'm so pleased that you're on the same page with me of thinking about this as like an action figure display thing. That little window, that's so funny. Right now, a lot of the Star Wars action figures, the Black Series and some of the deluxe vintage 3 3/4 are moving away from using as much plastic, so they are in cardboard. In the Mandalorian vault is like this compromise where like the package is mostly cardboard, but there's a little plastic window so you can just see the eyes of your action figure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if this is nice or evil. I think if I was trapped in one of those, I think I'd want to see outside, but I also just think, let me go crazy locked in here. I don't know. It's cruel. But also maybe nice.
It really is. Like, yeah, if you generally ask somebody, like, would it be better to be stuck in somewhere with the window or without it? And I think for the most part, a lot of people would say with a window. But then this is such a spiteful window of like, we want you to be able to just barely see what you're not involved in. Like, I want to roll you to a park and I want you to see the beautiful park that you can't enjoy. It's so spiteful.
Yeah, look, and I, along with a lot of folks, don't really like thinking about being buried alive. Not high on my list of things to think about. And this has some of those vibes. And so I'm like, I don't know. Just total darkness and sanity and get me on out of here, or a little ray of hope.
I don't know.
It's dark.
It is dark. Wikipedia does have more details about how horrible it is in there and how you might be able to get out. It says, the vault had 4 orange control buttons on the left side with one positioned above the others. Pressing the 3 lower buttons in succession from right to left would open the vault's door, while pressing the final button afterwards would release the prisoner. The vault's interior was gray with illuminated circuitry, which glowed bright orange when active. It contained a recess shaped to hold a humanoid with 2 armholes, 2 leg holes, and a spot for the prisoner's head. removable wrist restraints prevented prisoners from moving their hands, and a rigid gag moved in front of a prisoner's mouth to prevent them from speaking. The vault was capable of holding powerful force users, and even if the door was open, fully restrained prisoners could not escape the vault without external assistance. Partially wanted to share that because I just love the detail that Wikipedia goes into of like, yeah. We watched Ahsoka press those buttons, so we're going to write it down in Wikipedia.
And it becomes fact, yeah.
Yeah. Did just reading all that about the restraints and the gags, did that upset you?
It's not making me happy. Look, I I don't want to fight the Mandos at any point in my life and time. It's crazy. It's so wonderfully brutal. Star Wars is this fantasy we all love, and we get inspiration. Then you got the Mandos like, yeah, we lock you in a sarcophagus forever.
I don't even want to use the wrong space fork at dinner on Mandalore. This is very, very intense. So that's the overview. Let's get into discussing this thing, this box of intensity even more. How would you physically describe the Mandalorian vault? We have a general physical description from Wikipedia, but if you were describing it, Ken, and trying to get people to understand the essence of what this thing is, how would you describe it?
It's a piece of horrendous, haunting art. It's beautiful. Like the bas-relief, the Mando, the keeping with a lot of Mando things. It's very proud. It's a proud piece of weaponry, if you want to call it that. Tall rectangle, dark tones, at least on the ones we're seeing here. And this reddish light emanating from the window might just be Maul's rage that's lighting up in this one shot here. We don't know. And like I said, I could see these, you mail away from these and collect all of them. They're little art pieces, and I'd love to see a bunch of them. I wonder if they're different, depicting different parts of the Mandalorian war with the Jedi and the different, the victories they had.
Yeah, no, I think, I believe I didn't include it in Wikipedia, maybe I should. I think the idea is that this is in maybe one of the last ones, allegedly. That it's a rare antique from the past, not necessarily something that's like, oh yeah, you see those in secondhand stores in Sundari City all the time. But I agree with you. I think the part of it that I would try to communicate to people is it's kind of like a fridge you can get locked in, and then you can kind of, it's like if you had a fridge and you could see the eyes of the thing you're going to eat and it's staring at you angrily. It's got that real, containment fridge like quality, but the art turns it into like this cruel toy box, like where it's I'm looking at it up close, an image, and it's a picture of the, Mandalorians tying up a Jedi and cheering. It's like, it's like kind of an, the same way action figures usually have an image from the movie or the character in action, but it's the total opposite of like, this is what happened right before this Jedi went in the box. We tied him up.
And it's funny because we see it because it's Maul that we're all introduced to this, with this thing here. It's Maul inside, and it's like you're like cheering. This is, it's the bad guy, but it's still so brutal. You're right. It's just kind of like the last vault is how they kind of describe it. And it's very medieval, right? When you go to like some museum and they're like, oh, this is how they tortured prisoners that they caught in the castle. And you're like, what was going on then? What's going on now? But what's going on then?
Right. Brutal. Instead of going medieval on somebody's ass, you can go Mandalorian on somebody's ass. So that's a great segue into talking about the magic of the Mandalorian vault. What does it add to the legend of Star Wars? Why are you intrigued by it?
I think because it brings in this pinch of danger, just a harsh reality. And we're talking about these wars and it's, look, we grew up with New Hope, like Alderaan's, blown up at a distance, right? We don't get to experience it up close, and you kind of live with that and all those kind of things. And it's the easy fantasy side of it there. But then, you got Beru and Owen dead in front of you. That always kind of scarred me a little bit as a kid. So it's always there. You kind of need it. And it's also, by the way, on the Clone Wars, which is positioned – as a cartoon and still viewed that in a lot of people's minds, with cartoon being that kind of almost condescending description of it, right? Oh, it's just a Star Wars cartoon. Yeah, yeah. They have something that they lock Jedi in. It's brutal. And the fact that, you know, you could still read the description a little bit more, you know, it reminds me of this episode. Maul can still feel the Force, still kind of connected, feels the Order 66 stuff going on. So even more brutal. You're not, you're still feeling, you're just not alive.
Yeah, you can feel the galaxy, but you can't interact with it. Yeah. I love what you're saying of like, yeah, Star Wars has a brutal side, a cool side, right? In obviously so much of what is Mandalorian has been developed and defined in different ways, but practically in the real world, it starts with Boba Fett, right? Of the, oh, that's Mandalorian armor. And then Boba Fett's own history with Mandalore and being a Mandalorian becomes a really complex and I think still up for some discussion in storytelling what that relationship is. But all of this kind of flows from that character design in that badass bounty hunter. And this is like, hey, let's take that side of Star Wars, the cool, scary armor, you know, fighter takes trophies better than everyone, and let's really drill down. And that to me is the magic of the Mandalorian vault. It captures something about the history of the Mandalorians, about how much fighting in conflict is their history, how much disdain and jealousy they have of Force users, right? That idea of like, we hate the idea that there are these people who are attuned to this magical field who somehow might be more powerful than us, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to prove that's not true.
Yeah.
Including building angry boxes to capture them and make them feel bad about it at the same time.
Angry Mando box. There it is. There's the top. I love what you're saying too, because it really hints so much of the history, and I love what you're highlighting hints to some of the bitterness, jealousness, you know, that they have, because it makes me think of, is it Fenn Ra that's in the Darksaber Rebels episodes, is kind of like telling Sabine, yeah, yeah, go get Kanan. You know, we're all on the same team here, but you know, he's still a Jedi. You know, we have this history, and it's still reflected at everything they do. So it makes sense. It just hints at the wider, deeper story.
Yeah. And I think the other thing for me that I really love about it is that it's this story that the Mandalorians are brutal warriors, but also very artsy, right?
Yeah.
It's like Boba Fett, again, I know his actual, you know, canonicity as a Mandalorian is complex, but he's the starting point, right? So you start with cool, brutal, and then you go all the way to Sabine, right, who is brilliant and an artist and all these things, and that those kind of extremes have come together to really create Mandalore. And that's part of what is like, this is brutal and scary and in that, but I picked it because it's fun and weird, and I wanted to try to understand for myself why I felt that way. It's the fact that it's a beautiful prison, right? Yeah. We're gonna take away your freedom, and we're gonna leave a little window out so you can never forget that we've taken away your freedom, so we can stare at you in there. And then also, we're gonna make the outside just beautiful. Just gorgeous. It could just be a little plaque with the Force user's name on it. Slip a piece of paper in there so you know what Force user you got in there, right? When I look at the Mandalorian vault to contain Force users, the overwhelming thought I have is they didn't have to go that hard, but that is what Mandalorians do. They always go hard, even when they don't have to.
That's what I think Din Djarin will say at one point. We didn't have to go that hard, but we did.
This is the way. Going hard.
This represents a time when we made our prisons pretty, you know, like we had art going on as well as the fight. But yeah, really, really does represent the Mandalorian culture, all facets of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to discuss more of this creepy, cool, funny Mandalorian vault.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, we are back to continue having some fun diving into the Mandalorian vault. This box of Force user pain. Ken, how do you think it actually works to restrain Force users?
Without, and this one, I want to be clear, I'm clicking off any research page. No, I'm going my own thoughts here. I like the idea that it is almost disorienting, number one. So you're in there, you're not quite sure. The silence must be deafening. Now, again, maybe you can kind of feel the Force, but what are you feeling? I don't know how much that was related to Maul. I don't know. So I think it almost dismays them into submission. Oh, man, this doesn't feel good. And then it can disconnect you with the hope of the Force more than actually it does physically restrain you, of course. But, you know, you just feel it's hopeless. It's hopeless. And when you remove hope, what do you have? What do you have? So I think it's that. And then again, you have this false hope at the window. You're looking out. Someone could save me. And then you're reminded that no one is.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I didn't find anything on Wikipedia. My headcanon for these kind of things that they are just sending constant shocks and annoying, upsetting noises that make concentration impossible, right? Because the Force is everywhere, but you even a Darksider needs to focus, right? Anger gives you focus to use it. And even though you're angry, you're totally off balance. I imagine it's those binders and that light is just sending constant little, like maybe a random shock, maybe one to your knee, one to the back of your neck, one to your abdomen. You don't know where it's coming from. And, you know, there's the real life, you know, horror of using noise as a form of torture, right? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know what the, like, I don't know what the equivalent in the Star Wars galaxy of like in a door knocking, an old timey phone ringing and a baby crying, like those noises that make you feel like you should respond to them and make you nervous. Like, are those noises being played at all times?
It's a hollow message pinging. It's that, or also like, you know, the equivalent of using like a heavy metal song to mess with people. It's sometimes throughout history in recent years, decades, you hear that. Well, the CIA blasted Twisted Sister at him to get them out of the house. Like, what's the Star Wars equivalent of that playing in this box? Because you're right, I'm thinking of the deafening silence, but it could be deafening noise.
Oh, yeah, the deafening silence would be great. Yeah, but is there some really upsetting discordant jizz wailing going on in there? Who knows?
Imagine hearing that on repeat. Yeah. Over and over and over and over and over.
Oh, yeah. Cannot escape it. I also think that obviously, like, strong metal, complex locks that you can't just, like, reach into with the force and undo. Like, all that kind of stuff is going on, too.
Yeah.
So, Ken, if you could throw any... I'm sorry. Were you going to add some more containment thoughts?
No. I just don't want to be in one.
Let's keep reminding everyone. We're having fun talking about the Mandalorian vault. We do not want to be in one.
It's getting the hot sweats here.
But... That said, we don't want to be in one. But yeah. Ken, if you had the opportunity, maybe even just for fun, just for the sake of history, for knowledge, if you could throw any Force user in that box, who would you throw in there?
Ooh, yeah. See, it might be Ki-Adi Mundi just to think about the things you're saying. Just a little while.
He's a political idea. Slam me in the box.
Whoa. Yeah, just think about what you've said. Here's some time to think about it.
I don't think the Sith could have, wham, door slammed shut. Yeah. I love that. I love how much Wikipedia emphasizes that this is for humanoids, of a specific, height. It looks like it could probably accommodate humanoids of different, like, actual heights, shorter and taller than that. But I have this absolute comedy picture in my brain that Mandalorians capture Jarl Poof and they're like, we're going to, is he fit in there? Is that a part of the torture where there's some Jedi who's, like Jarl Poof, like his neck needs to be bent, or, you try to put like a shorter Jedi, like there's that High Republic Jedi or Balin who is like their actual organic existence is like a weird plasma, formed into a suit. Right. But they're not very tall. So like, do you ever have that thing where, like, a Mandalorian's like, yeah, look at my Jedi in a box, and like people are like, no, there's nothing in the window. Like, look down. Or do they redesign them and move the window down to, Grogu level, which is horrible to even think about?
Well, yeah, I was gonna say Mando season 3, maybe Grogu is in one and Din's got to rescue him. But that's right, yeah, it's very specific. It's very this window placement. So they've got to have different window options. You choose the one. Maybe this might be the last vault that was perfectly sized for Maul, but I think you go to a vault of vaults and you pick the one out back in the day, back in the glory days.
Yeah. I bet they were custom made, right? Like, I bet there's times where like, this Jedi's like 7 feet tall humanoid. I thought they'd fit, but just a little too big.
Well, that's great, because then the Mandos could send a message to, Ki-Adi Mundi's got a forehead on him, right? So he gets a message if he was fighting back in the day. We've got a vault built just for you. Your name's on it. Like, oh, no, they're coming for me. Another form of intimidation.
We can fit your double brain in here. No problem. No problem. I'd also be tempted to see Qui-Gon Jinn in there, because I think he's the Jedi who'd be like, I can handle this.
He'd be one of the only ones, right?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Porter Ingle will be like, depending on what point of his life, he'd be like, oh, I didn't fit into one. They couldn't get my forearms in there. Oh, they'd had to use another way.
Yeah, they had to try to use something else to contain me. I think there is the intimation, in that in the databank entry about they had many ways of dealing with off-world intruders, not just Force users, but also other Force users. Does the Mandalorian vault make you think about what other ancient anti-Jedi tech the Mandalorians might have? And if so, what do you think it might be?
Yeah, tech being the key word, because we've seen, especially in High Republic, there's a lot of organic-based threats to Jedi, and that gets into different areas. Again, going to that hope thing and removing hope. So there's a lot of that, or fear being instilled. So there's a lot of that, but I like the tech side of it here. I wonder, too, there's a locking of feet, or, how do you get inside their mind? I bet there's like a Doc Brown-looking kind of thing they put on a Jedi's head, if it could fit. Or wherever their brain is, and just assuming that's where the force is. So it kind of like sends shock waves into the brain and discombobulates, and you're not allowed to be connected to the force, which is not unlike, we've seen like Loden Greatstorm with some horrendous torture and kind of felt some stuff like that. So I imagine the Mandos might have that. I also like the idea of a Mandalorian vault ball. And what is it? It's a big kind of almost inflatable ball where you just toss the Jedi in the middle and he's sealed, and then you can bounce him down a hill. It's almost like a Boomba with a Jedi in the middle.
Yeah, that it's some sort of like perpetual motion booma that it just it can't stop bouncing and rolling, that it somehow physically it goes on at all times, no matter what. So the Jedi's just bouncing.
And you make that boom, boom, it makes that sound the whole time. So you're
Badoing, badoing, badoing.
Yeah.
That's the sound that drives the Jedi to madness, the endless badoings. I would think that if this tech existed, the Mandalorians would have kept it around. I love that episode of Rebels where we really get that, like, a lot of the Mandalorian tech is built to counter Jedi abilities. And I feel like the ultimate technology would be what I'm thinking of is the Mandalorian clapper. And it's a device where somehow if they clap with armor, it automatically deactivates a lightsaber.
Yeah. I like that.
So the Jedi's charging, blade out, and the Mandalorian's like, I got this. And then it just goes out.
I think that's great. I had a clapper for about a year as a kid. Our family had one, and man, that was, that was interesting. That's wonderful.
The clappers are designed for children to torture adults, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
All right. We always want to make it personal. So, Ken, I feel you've already answered this question 5 to 7 times in this half hour podcast. But are you even remotely curious to get inside one of these? If it was on display like we went to that great Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett display, if they had one for Clone Wars, like it's just a prop. It doesn't close. We're in a brightly lit museum. Would you even try sitting in there? If it was an Instagram trap of like, take your picture in the vault.
Oh, maybe. Anything for social media. No, I have over the years, my mom is very claustrophobic. I've certainly inherited some of it. I can go to a Qui-Gon spot and take a deep breath and be there. But case in point, I have a back issue and I'm putting off going to my doctor because the chances of them going, great, we're going to need an MRI are high. And I can't face it.
Yeah.
I can't face it. And the people I know have gone to the full tube, not the one where, your feet are hanging out. The full tube, I break out in cold sweats and everything. This would kill me. Like the Mandos would kill me. I'd be lost. My brain would implode. So even in your setting, even at Star Wars Celebration London, I might do it. If you were right there with the photo, because I would trust you to not prank me. I got some friends in my life to be like, oh, bye. I'd kill them. I'd just get them out and I'd toss them off the London Bridge. I know you wouldn't do that.
No,
you're not a prankster. You're not a pun man. You respect your audience. So you, Grace, I'll let you take a photo.
I just have this wild opinion that the world does lots of upsetting and mean things to you. So that's not a thing that I need from friends or a thing I need to give friends. The rest of the world's got that.
I'm telling you, April Fool's Day is you want to see angry Ken. It's that day. You take the one thing we have between each other, trust, and you destroy it. Nope. I'm not here for it. And all that factors into getting inside even a prop one of these.
Oh, can you imagine Mandalorians on April Fool's Day? We have just tons of ancient, electrified, ominous tech for Fool's Day. I have some amount of claustrophobia. Like I can handle it, and then when I can't, it's really hard for me. But but I also like always have this temptation to stick my head in things. When I was a kid, we had one of the places we lived, we had stairs that the one flight was solid. And then the second flight down to the living room area had slats. And like I stuck my head between them. And then I had that moment of utter panic that I wasn't gonna be able to get my head back out.
Yes,
and then I
yes.
did it again, even yes. after I had the panic. So, and sometimes when I like see a freezer on a tour of like an old house, I'm like, I know I shouldn't, but I'm gonna kind of step in there. Like, so I think, especially if it was a photo op, I'd do it. I'd be afraid.
Good. Yeah. Good.
And I would need you there as well. Cause I know that you are not going to lock me in and laugh.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah, no, no. Yeah. We'll put you on the Force Center Instagram page then. And I'll sit this one out.
So my other personal question for you, Ken, if there was a coffee table version, cause this is so coffee table shaped, of the Mandalorian vault, would you consider buying it and using it as a coffee table?
Oh, absolutely. Now you're talking. Little legs on there. It can open up to put things in it. Storage. Oh, and plus you can look in to see what's in there, because I always forget what is in here. CDs from 1997. Okay. That would be, I would love that. I would love that.
Yeah, I would be very excited, because it's a beautiful piece of art. You have to have maybe a glass over it, so it's somewhere flat. Mm-hmm. You can put your drink. But just having that one little window, I would have to rotate which action figure you can see through the eye hole.
Mm.
All the time.
That's a good point.
All right. We are looking forward to spending $7,000 each on the coffee table version of the Mandalorian Vault. With that, we're going to move to our final rating. We're going to rate the wild and weird and wondrous factor of the Mandalorian Vault. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give the Mandalorian Vault?
Look, I'm going to go 7. It's knowing the Mandos like we do, it's not weird to think they'd have this, but no. It's a little weird in Star Wars, and it's brutal in its own way. So the fact that it exists, and the fact that it showed up in season 7, like, oh, look at this. What's that? Oh, this is how the Mandos trap Jedi. What? That keeps it pretty weird for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think in general, you know, this is fun because we're kind of playing with something on Databank Dive here that is explicitly goofy, right? Mm-hmm. It's scary. But to me, it's so scary that it becomes wild and weird and funny. It's a box that's so angry, it's funny to me. So I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 because I kind of can't stop thinking about it. I took about 1,000 screen captures of Maul with his eyes glaring out of that box. There's something about Maul inside there. He looks like an angry cat who's looking in your window.
Yep.
It's so terrifying. It's funny. So I'm going 8 out of 10 Lobot heads.
Love it.
All right. Ken, where can people find you as we wrap up this episode of Databank Dive?
Yeah, you want to learn more phobias that we both have or styles of humor we just despise? You can follow us on Twitter at @ForceCenterPod. From there, you'll find links to all of our shows, things we do, link trees, websites, Patreon pages. All that stuff is there. For me, you can follow me at @KedNapsok or go to my website, KedNapsok.com. For you, sir, where can they go?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is @JosephScrimshaw. And for all my other comedy adventures, you can find my website, josephscrimshaw.com. For now, for myself, for Ken, for a box that is very, very angry, yet still beautiful, this has been Databank Dive.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.